And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and Rock Cod Rick Mexa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Rock Cod Rick's out of town, but Corey Sandin's right here. By my side here is a great co-host here, and what an appropriate day for Corey to be here, right?
Having a fun time, actually.
Are you kidding me?
A great time. Yeah. This is all this information and science and and all the stats and everything that go behind it. I mean, almost would put somebody's mind, somewhere else. But to hear the stats and have it all related to calico bass and sand bass and tuna and
Lyle
rockfish.
Lyle and Elena are here.
It's right?
Just like the fishery scientists actually met doing their work.
Like I said, it's like, might just call it romantic myself.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like a party boat.
Right? Hey, Elena, shall we do a big shout-out to the Canadians this morning?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Come on. Your family.
The whole family's listening from the British Columbia.
Yeah.
Very proud.
Yes. They're all tuned in.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
Shout-out to
Elena's
them.
Family.
I know.
Yeah.
Listening on the Mighty 1090 app.
Actually, on the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Beg my pardon?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. On the Let's Talk Hookup app, which you can download for free on our Let's Talk Hookup app. It's either on the website, which is letstalkhookup.com. You can download it right on the front page of the website, or you can download it from the iTunes store, the App Store, or the Google Play Store. The Let's Talk Hookup app. It's an amazing app, easy to use, and you can archive. I mean, in fact, what your family should do if they haven't already downloaded the Let's Talk Hookup app is they can actually listen live, of course, right now, like they're doing, but then they can listen to the archive, which Adam will post in about right after the show. Each hour is done, he posts it pretty quickly after the hour is done. They can listen over and over again to the archive of their beautiful daughter.
Because of
Elena.
Course they would want to.
Yeah, of course they'd want to, right?
And they will. No.
Yeah.
Well, my mom's listening in Cancun right now.
Oh, in Cancun?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we've got, you know, all quite over. A spread across the continent here.
Yeah, for sure. That's pretty neat. Well, hey, a lot of very patient callers, Corey. We should jump into it.
The stats are adding up. Let's take Mike from Rosemead. Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Mike.
Thanks for hanging in there, Mike.
Good morning. I'm 63 and I wish I could serve, so keep it up, Pete. Kudos to you.
Thanks.
Good morning, everyone.
Thanks.
Yesterday we had a lot of information about the albacore and how they are pretty much dialed in up there in the northern Pacific area, but not down here. And during the season, you know, we get our migratory yellowfin and the bluefin are doing their thing nowadays. But we hardly hear about big-eyed tuna. They're just incidental catches. And do they just not come around our zone? That's one question. And there was another question brought up yesterday, Pete, that you said we can ask the guest. And I can't remember what it was, but maybe you can bring it up. And I'll get off the air. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot. Well, what do you guys think?
So when we talk about all the tunas, we're talking about a group of species that are federally managed because they're highly migratory. They're called HMS, right? So albacore, yellowfin, bluefin, big eye, they migrate as a function of what the oceanographic patterns are doing. So just because big eye aren't here doesn't mean the population's down, or just because albacore aren't here doesn't mean the population's down. They're just somewhere else. So that's what I would say to the big eye.
And I think the question yesterday that we were going to ask was about the albacore being tracked,
yes.
About their migration with transponders or whatever being tracked. Is that something that's done?
Yeah. So they've been putting satellite tags on bluefin, albacore, I think yellowfin also, and tracking their movements all across the North Pacific. We have bluefin that kind of hang around the central and northern Baja area and Southern California and on up into Central California a little bit. Some of those fish travel all the way across the Pacific to Japan. Albacore travel all the way across the Pacific. Usually when they get over to our coast, they're in the central California and northward sort of area. And
Traditionally,
yeah. And so when the oceanographic patterns change in our favor, then the albacore will move south, and we just haven't seen that in a while.
And rightfully so. I mean, understanding we've had Wahoo and, you know, yeah, I mean, close to 80-degree water. And
yeah.
Mark Wish talking about marlin in December, you know, a couple weeks ago. And mm-hmm. so you add that factor in, and you kind of understand, right? I mean, the albacore, like yesterday, Aaron Barnhill was talking about they like 58 to 62-degree water.
Yep.
We're barely at 62 nearly at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, pretty amazing.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So it all kind of it makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
And one thing that would be really cool would be to find a way to predict when the albacore are going to show up next season. You know, if you could know a season out if they're going to show up or not, that would be really something. And there are folks working on being able to predict migration patterns, but that's a very difficult thing to do.
Right.
And with satellite tags.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. That would be wild. Yeah. It may be good and may be bad, because if they can start predict migratory patterns, then the commercial purse-seine boats can get on the fish harder.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. There's
that's
that.
Another downside, right? Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that I heard about Big Eye, is that the purse-seine boats down south were using fish aggregating device, electronic fish aggregating devices that were attracting a lot of the juvenile Big Eye and then wrapping these fads and killing a lot of the juvenile Big Eye.
Yeah. I mean, methods make a difference, right? I mean, most of the albacore fisheries, a lot of those are troll caught,
yes.
which is a pretty sustainable method of catching fish. But, maybe
the purse-seine thing is not.
Yeah.
And as we were talking about it yesterday, I mean, I hate to repeat it again, but it's such a big difference between the polecot, no, like Barnhill was talking about, Aaron, they're totally sustainable. There's no bycatch.
Right.
I mean, they might catch a yellowtail or a bluefin, but 99.999% of their catch is their targeted species, albacore. And the fact they're caught one at a time, put in the chiller, and it might be double the price, triple at the very most, but it's such a different product compared to the skipjack and the way it's caught, the way you're describing the purse-seining, the way that's
bycatch.
Caught. There's a lot of bycatch in with the purse-seining and in the tuna in the South Pacific, the skipjack.
Yeah.
So just look at what you're purchasing, and that Aaron Barnhill albacore caught stuff, you know, the way that's caught is sustainable.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Let's jump back into it. Let's talk to Tom. Tom's calling from Las Vegas, of all places. I'm sure he's listening on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning from actually a Starbucks in Las Vegas. How are you doing today?
Very nice.
I wanted to say hi to Alana. She's always very helpful when I come by and ask questions. And I think I've met her husband once. But my question is, for 2018... for bluefin tuna, how does the biomass, at least what you've been able to observe or informally see so far, compared to that of 2017? Have we seen a continued growth pattern that we saw from, say, 2016 to 2017?
Off the top of my head, I don't know if there are more fish or more biomass than the previous year, but I would say it's probably comparable. I mean, the last 4 or 5 years now have just been banner bluefin years, just absolutely off the charts, and this year in my mind was no different. So I think bluefin locally is looking great.
Has the two fish limit helped the stock? Are they able to say that is or no?
Elena could probably answer this.
I mean,
better.
We have such a relatively minute impact here in this part of the world. You know,
whether
we're catching
10 fish or 2 fish,
2%
right?
of the entire catch for the species across
2%.
The Pacific. So changes we make here, they're positive, but whether or not they're going to have a substantial impact on the health of the entire stock, that's tough to say.
Because like you mentioned earlier in the show, that entire stock is fished by other countries thousands of miles from here that we can't
The same fish.
Not only that we can't control, but we don't have any stat or data or anything that they're harvesting.
Yeah, so most of the Pacific bluefin tuna is caught over in Asia. And then there's about 20% over between Mexico and the United States. So there's groups, international groups like the IATTC that get together and countries come together and try and agree on catch allocation per country.
That's the Inter-American Tropical Tuna Commission.
Yeah. And so they meet, you know, a few times a year, and we have so there's an American delegation. We have representation there, and that's where they determine, okay, the states get to catch, you know, you catch this much, Japan will catch this much. So we made we went from a 10-fish limit down to a 2-fish limit, which is obviously a pretty large change, but whether or not that's having an impact in 2 years.
And overall, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, very little. But maybe, you know.
But having us be able to catch those fish because
at all
keeps us having a voice. Because if we had a moratorium on the species, then we don't have a voice at the table.
Well, we can't say that the stocks are healthy or anything.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
If we put a moratorium on bluefin, we don't get a say in what happens with bluefin.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. All right, let's find out what's going on in the world of Captain Dave Hansen.
And the FishDope.com report is sponsored by Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Looking for that last-minute Christmas gift? This kind of caught me off guard yesterday, and it sounds like an awfully good one, Pete. Check out Fish Pros, a holiday rub pack. Gift boxed and ready to give. There's a 3-pack for $20, a 9-pack for $60, a $72 value. Wow, I mean, that's huge,
yeah.
Pete. Yeah.
Oh, these gift packs are really cool, Corey, and they're easy. You can just go buy Fish Pros the market right there at Liberty Station, or you can go on their website, fishermansprocessing.com, and order online, and even they'll ship them if you have somebody that you can't really get to before Christmas. They'll ship it for you.
And they're really cool rubs. I've used a few of them. I have the Cajun, like the meat rub and the all-purpose rub, and I'll tell you, I use them on everything.
Yep. Very unique gift, for sure.
Yes.
Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
My dad had a little bit to do with that whole bluefin thing for quite a few years.
Your dad always has, for sure.
So we got a little bit of knowledge on that whole thing. But, well, like we talked about last week, we're kind of in the transition period here right now. We got a little bit of cold water coming in. Things are changing a little bit. Most people are focusing on that rockfish thing up and down the coast. Although there was some squid made, and then there was some sea bass and some yellowtail caught over at the island yesterday. So start looking for that squid. Start looking for that sea bass and yellowtail. Start fishing between the weather windows like we were talking about before. And then just before we went on air here, I was talking to one of my good buddies who's a deep drop swordfish guy. That's what he does for a living. And once again, that bluefin, he looked at it all day yesterday between the 9 and the 181. Lot of that 60 to 80 pound bluefin, not a single boat in sight. He was not.
Okay, now wait, let's stop for a second here.
Yes, sir.
You created quite the controversy last week. Everybody was
calling
foul on your report.
Okay.
So, all right. Everybody said, there's no bluefin on the 302. But you had multiple reports of this, okay?
Well, this was between the 9 and the 181 yesterday.
9 and the 181. So it's out there.
And he's been there for a week fishing that swordfish, and he's been seeing the fish every single day.
Every
now,
day.
He's not saying there's millions of them, but he's saying there's enough of them. If he had poppers on the boat, he said he would have been catching fish.
Really? Okay.
That's what he told me.
All right.
So,
and just nobody fishing them.
Nobody's out there looking.
All
nobody
right.
wants to burn the fuel and go look. So
there you go.
You know, and that bluefin tuna is absolutely, and the people that are in there with you today will tell you, it is not about warm water. That bluefin's never been a warm water fish. So I wouldn't get all nervous because the water got down into below 60s. Oh, the bluefin are gone. No, once again, what we did, just like the last few years, we ran out of people.
Yeah, for
everybody
sure.
Everybody kind of, it got cold. Now we're shopping for Christmas. We're thinking about what we're going to get for the holidays or whatever we're doing, but we're not focusing on going offshore looking for tuna. You might get lucky and go get a Christmas bluefin. So don't put your stuff away. Go out there and look around a little bit. You don't have to drive 1,000 miles an hour. Save a little fuel between the 9 and the 181. That's not a long drive, but yeah. Go look.
Go out and do some rockfish fishing on the 9 and then go catch some bluefin.
Absolutely.
I would definitely
look around. But my biggest problem right now is I'm down here and having to catch 20 to 40 marlin a day, and it's really tough.
Oh, down in Cabo. You still down there? Well, of course, fishdope.com has all the information. Danny and the guys do a great job. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. What a great Christmas gift, a gift of a full year. Somebody will remember you for a full year buying a fishdope.com gift membership, which you can do at fishdope.com. And Dave, how do we find you?
Well, guys, my website's cranking along really good. We just added some new videos to it, some more of that how-to stuff. Once again, we work very closely with Jason and Ollie over there at Bloody Decks. I'm just kind of helping you guys along a little bit more, showing you, pinpointing you the techniques that work here in Southern California on a daily basis. So go to my website at yoursaltwaterguide.com. Check it out. That's also another place to get a good gift for somebody that you love that just wants a little bit more technical support. Check out yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I will talk to you guys next Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Captain Dave. Enjoy Cabo, and we'll talk to you. Now, I want you, next Sunday is our Christmas spectacular, so you better have a good contribution to the show for us, okay?
You got it. You know me. All right, buddy. You might have to keep your finger on the button, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got the gong. Don't forget. We've got the gong. So,
all right.
Thanks,
cool.
Dave. All right. Happy holidays to you. Thanks a lot for the report this morning. Let's go ahead and jump back into those phones.
Let's do it, Pete. They have been jammed up the whole show. We need to clear some out here. Let's talk to Bruce. Bruce, call from Lemon Grove. Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Thanks for hanging in there, Bruce.
Thank you. Had a question for scientists there about kind of 25 and a half inch calico. How old was that fish and how much do you think it weighs? Obviously, we released it.
That's a big fish.
That's a really good one.
I mean, we should just congratulate you right there.
Right?
A 25 inch fish, it's hard to say because the longer they get, the more variability there is around that age estimate. But I mean, 25-inch fish has got to be over 20 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I would put it anywhere from 7 pounds to nine, somewhere in the nines for sure.
Something
you know?
Like that. That sounds
yeah,
about
I
right.
mean, if it was a long, skinny fish, probably in the sevens. Mm-hmm. And if it was a robust, absolutely gorging, fat fish at spawn time, probably... Mm-hmm. Probably over 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Corey, what's the largest calico you've ever caught?
The largest one I've ever had on the boat was roughly that length, and it was 10 and 3 quarter.
Wow.
10.25 inches and 20.
Roughly that length, yes. And it was caught and released healthy. It was weighed on a certified international, certified scale.
Wow.
And we were able to bring it into the dock and weigh it on a scale, put a trash bag, just lightly wet it down so that the fish wouldn't take the slime off onto the scale, and weighed it appropriately right back into the live well. It wasn't out of the water. We brought it up in a bucket. It was not out of the water more than 10 seconds and right back where we released
it. So you caught it along this coast?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, that one was caught from Point Loma.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
That's impressive.
It's very impressive.
Did it have a tag in it, by the way? A little
no,
yellow tag?
Not
are
that
you,
one.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I did catch one that had a tag in it, and yeah. I saw a bunch of them. I mean, yep. That little yellow tag would zip around like a lightning bolt. You know, you would see them. Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning, Bruce.
Let's jump back into it. Let's talk to Hills. Hills come from Ventura. Welcome to the show this morning, Hills.
Morning, Hills.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Elena and Lyle, thank you for the work. We owe you so much for what you guys are doing, like Don Hansen was saying. I had an interesting experience. I caught a fish I couldn't identify a couple of years ago at one of my favorite spots that I tried to keep secret, surf fishing. And it was a black and white striped thing. And I looked in my book that I have, nice book, couldn't find it. I called into the show, and Rick Maxa looked it up, and he said, well, maybe it's a zebra fish. And I looked at that, and nope, didn't look like that. So I just saw a post on Facebook yesterday of a barred knife fish
mm-hmm.
that they say may have come from Japan after the earthquake and tsunami in with the debris.
Yep.
And I a couple weeks ago caught a second one. I released both of them.
You're kidding.
I didn't know what the heck they were, and you know, I didn't want to kill them anyways. But so do you guys? What's the scoop on these things?
So I think by this time we need a picture.
I know. Do you have any photos?
No, because I was, you know, my phone's in my backpack, and I got my earbuds, and I'm like, don't want to kill the thing. So
yeah.
I didn't.
Okay.
But well, if you catch a third one, take a photo.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So you're right. This species was just recently found off Monterey, I think in the last couple of weeks. And divers have gone out and seen it repeatedly. I don't know if it's just one individual fish.
And what's it called?
The barred knife jaw, I believe.
Barred knife jaw.
It sort of looks like a zebra perch, but instead of that brown and kind of yellow barring, it's like a black and silver or black and white
interesting.
Barring.
And the cool. zebra perch you're talking about are very similar to an opali. I've seen them diving. They don't bite the hook very often.
Yeah, same family.
Yeah, they look just like an opali, a little more elongated in the tail section, mm-hmm. but they're striped like a zebra.
Yeah, they're in the chub family. Yeah. And this species is fairly similar. So far, they're saying they think it's from Japan, but there's actually a population out in Hawaii as well, out farther in the western Hawaiian Islands. So it could be from there.
Interesting.
I'm not sure. We get larvae and juveniles coming from all over the place, depending on the
crazy.
Oceanography. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty
cool.
Crazy, Hills.
Good one, Hills. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that very much. Hey, this month's CCA California calendar winner is going to win a His and Hers gift package. His is Blue Wave Jewelry tungsten ring, and hers is a Bob Cox bone carver and Blue Wave Jewelry that we heard from Bob the bone carver yesterday. So both of them also win half-day passes to C4 Sport Fishing. The winning number on the back of your calendar, 2363. That's the Bill Varney CCA calendar, 2363. Check that number on Facebook and claim your prize on the CCA California website.
What a cool deal, man. Hey, when we come back on Let's Talk Hookup, we're going to have more from Lyle, more from Elena, all this cool information, more on Let's Talk Hookup. We come back on a Mighty 1090.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. Cedros Island is considered the yellowtail and calico bass fishing capital in the world, and nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. We are committed to providing first-class service to our guests, as well as an unforgettable fishing experience. We have made a good thing even better. We now have a direct flight departing to the CBX in San Diego. Leave home in the morning and fish in the afternoon. We have a beautiful waterfront lodge with first-class accommodations and meals. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7577. Or check out CedrosSportFishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
Happy holidays from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. This is Doug Kern. Nothing could be better for that saltwater angler on your list than a gift from Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. We have the best Shimano has to offer, including Talica, Trinidad A, Therese, Stella, Tranks, Terramar, Colt Sniper, Torium, Tiagra, Flatfall, and much more from Shimano. Bottom line, we have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater tackle and the knowledge to help you pick out the perfect gift. Check out our huge selection at saltwatertackle.com or come by and see us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trip from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. We are proud to say Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering half-day trips on the Dolphin, and now, for the first time in the long history of Fisherman's Landing, we have three-quarter-day open party trips on the Liberty. We built the Liberty specifically to offer a better experience. Run by veteran captain Taro Takeuchi, the 85-foot Liberty is the first open party three-quarter-day boat to offer bunks for your comfort. She also has huge bait capacity and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big galley and two interior heads with showers. Our open party trips from half-day, three-quarter-day, or 1 to 3 day trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Here's John Ireland. for Rancho Leonero.
Rancho Leonero was awarded the Certificate of Excellence from TripAdvisor for 4 straight years. Especially interesting, most hotels are just hotels. Most people stay in the hotel and go do their activities elsewhere. Rancho Leonero, of course, provides fishing, diving, all activities, all meals, your whole vacation. So the fact that we're so highly rated, we're very proud of it. From picking you up at the airport to dropping you off, literally everything is turnkey from there. We make it as easy as we can for you at the ranch. From your meals to whether you're going to go fishing or diving or just hang out by the pool. When you're coming to Rancho Leonero, you are coming to John Ireland's home. I guarantee the best fishing vacation experience in all of Baja. It's unique. There's nowhere that I could think of to get the same experience that you get at Rancho Leonero. Our new reservation phone number is 800-646-2252, 646-BAJA, and RanchoLeonero.com. It's really unique. It is. We're very proud of it.
We all need to get around, but we all need something different from our vehicles. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have you covered if you're looking for a new truck this month. Plus, it's SUV season, so they have great deals for everyone. Whether it's a new EcoSport that is nimble and fun around town, or the Ford Explorer that is capable of putting a boat in the water and has seating for 7, Ford has you covered. Ford trucks and SUVs aren't just powerful and legendary. They have the latest technology that helps you seamlessly connect your smartphone and ensure you're safe on the road. Features like Pro Trailer Backup Assist on trucks are truly a game changer at the ramp, helping you back up a trailer by simply turning a knob on the dash and doing the hard work for you. So check out all the great deals during SUV season and save some money on the right gear for you. Learn more at buyfordnow.com or visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
XSRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The mighty 1090.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and we're having such a fun time.
Indeed. I have to throw out a big happy birthday to my buddy Ron Lane from Fast Lane Kayaks today. It's his 67th birthday. This man is like a he-man. He's my surf buddy, and
he's only 67?
He's my inspiration. Only 67. He's my inspiration to keep it rolling, too. He calls stand-up paddle in the surf, which is what we do, the Fountain of Youth. Because I'll give you an example of what Ron's. Ron surfed for 2.5 hours on Friday morning by himself. Then he calls me up in the afternoon. He says, "It's good. Let's go." So we jumped on my boat, and then I surfed for another hour and a half. He surfed for another 2 hours. 67 years old.
Yeah.
He's a he-man.
That's wonderful.
Happy birthday.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
He looks about 10 years younger, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Fountain of Youth.
Right?
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Got to jump in there and give him those boards.
And stand-ups, for sure. Hey, happy birthday, Ron. Many more to you.
Yeah, right. Let's jump into it, Pete. They are completely packed. Let's talk to Nikita calling from British Columbia. Good morning, Nikita. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. How are you guys?
Yeah, great. You sound a lot like our guest here, Elena.
I am. I happen to be the 4-year younger sister of Elena.
Is that right?
And hey, on that Nick. Note, I also want to wish Lyle a happy 67th birthday for today.
The old man in the family.
The old man.
I do turn 40 next August. So we'll see how that goes.
Hey guys, it's Jason. I just wanted to say really proud of you and all the things that you guys are doing, and don't forget about us here up north.
Oh, we won't.
Your brother.
We won't.
Brother-in-law.
Yep. Brother-in-law, okay.
Well,
thanks, guys.
I'll tell you, I don't think we'll be forgetting about you too much in our 75-degree weather today in San Diego.
I know. How warm is it at home right now?
Oh, gosh.
Probably about 45.
Yeah.
Oh, it's warm.
They're speaking your language right now. Celsius is about 1 or 2, probably, right?
We're Googling how to convert it.
They came and fished down on the premiere. They did the half day on the premiere.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
they got some calicos.
They're a little bit familiar with our world down here.
Yep. Well, we're proud of your sister, too. She's great.
Oh, thank you. Well, her family's very proud. And, yeah, we're having a great time listening. And, thanks so much for letting us say hi. We really appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks
for listening to us. From British Columbia there on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Appreciate that, Nikita. Thanks a lot for the call.
Good fishing up there.
I know,
yeah.
Right?
For sure.
I caught lingcod off the rocks up there.
Lingcod off the rocks?
Yeah, Yeah, wow. Pretty cool.
You know what's funny? You mentioned that. You know, guys always refer to, like, the northern area. I mean, Northern California and above is catching ling cod in shallow. Mm-hmm. I've actually done it a number of times, like Ensenada, fishing calicos and lead heading and pitching the rocks up in 10 foot of water.
Yep, yep.
And catching ling cod
you can
in
do
the
it.
Shallows.
I was
pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I was
crazy.
Fishing bay bass, tackle catching rockfish and lings right off the shore.
So
pretty cool.
I love catching ling cod.
I like it.
I pull so hard. Those things are bad.
Yeah.
And they're ugly.
Right? Right?
Very good. Hey, let's go ahead and jump into those phones.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Tom. Tom's calling from Temecula this morning. Welcome to the show. Tom, good morning.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lyle and Elena. I got a question. I read an article a while back talking about how some fish can be injured by handling them, you know, after you've caught them. And so my question is, you know, what are the fragility of some of our local fish here? I know, you know, I see TV programs and they catch marlin and they pull them up out of the water, have them over the rail there, and then they release them. But I can't help but think that, you know, there is a point where handling a fish too much out of water after you caught them and then releasing them does some damage.
Sure, sure. Yeah, generally speaking, the bigger the fish, the more susceptible it is to damage because fish are all used to being essentially weightless in water, right? So when you bring them out of the water, a really large fish has a lot more weight associated with it, right? And they're more susceptible to things like organ damage. So that's something to consider. So any handling of any fish should just be done with caution. If you're fishing marlin, if you can just kind of hold it by the bill alongside the boat, get your photo and release it, that's a great way to go. Yeah.
And for the reason of black sea bass and such that we have locally, you're not allowed to bring them over the rail. They can't leave the water.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
for that reason.
In some cases, it's law. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hey, Tom, good question. Thanks a lot for the call. On that subject, let's talk about descending devices.
Oh, yeah.
We've done quite a bit of work on descending devices, and this is a subject that I think is so important for our listeners to grasp and understand, and that is, to have, if you're fishing rockfish, and I'm all for making it a requirement on a boat. If you're fishing rockfish, if you're not carrying a descending device and using that descending device, shame on you.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. Yeah. Yeah. It's the body of work around descending devices has been going on for about a decade or so. In San Diego, we started around 2012 with Cowcod and Boccaccio and Vermilions. Out at the 43 Fathom Bank, and we've since done more research along the mainland coast, and we've found surprisingly high survival rates across species. Obviously, depth plays into it. The deeper the fish comes from, the more susceptible it is to barotrauma. But we're finding 70, 80, 90% survival, depending on the depth and the species, which is incredible. And it's actually a really cool story because since we started the work in California, the science has spread to other regions. And Elena, you should probably
SAC has
where we are now.
Obviously, been on board with descending devices. We've distributed them in training every year to all of the party boats, and made them very available, the devices.
Sure.
But we were fishing up salmon fishing. Lyle and I were salmon fishing for up in Tofino on Vancouver Island. And we were chatting with the guide, and he'd never heard of descending devices. So up in BC, it was 100% mortality considered for every rockfish because they had no way to get them back down.
This was about 5 years ago.
Yeah. So we started chatting with the guy, and he was fascinated. He said, oh, my gosh, this is incredible. And it was, you know, they're invented by the industry. And I said, well, let me ship you some. So I shipped him a bunch, and next thing I know, I've got fishing lodges throughout BC contacting me. Hey, I want some of these things. This is fabulous. And
you want to know what it's all about.
Yeah, let us know. And because they've got, you know, we have Cowcod. They've got Yellow Eye up there. They've, you know, highly political. And so we were asked, Lyle and I were asked to come and speak at the Sport Fishing Institute of British Columbia's annual conference, which is, they're like SAC up in BC. And the Department of Fisheries and Oceans was there, and that's the federal agency up in BC, up in Canada that manages fisheries. And, you know, they've since then we've gone up a few times, spoken on the science and the management and
Lyle, about our successes down
here. Yeah, long-term survival. Do they reproduce after? And, you know, like Lyle said, there's quite a bit of science now to back all of this. And they really grabbed hold. And since then, we just found out they're actually making a law in BC.
Wow.
So you're talking in just a handful of years. They went from never, ever knowing what
it existed. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fishing community has just totally latched on. And I'm like, I think I should call Sequalizer and be like, are you curious about this uptick in sales to, to Canada? Yeah.
So let's talk about the different types of descending devices,
yeah,
right?
Several.
Yeah. So which ones are the most effective?
So we just did a study comparing all the different types of descending devices that are available on the market right now. The two favorites seem to be the Rocklease and the Sequalizer.
Mm-hmm.
They all work. Mm-hmm. That's right. One of the take-home messages. Whether you're using the Shelton, which is a little upside-down barbless hook that you rig in line with your Ganyon, or the Sequalizer, which is the pricier version. I think it's about
$60.
Yeah, it's about $60 or $70. Mm-hmm. But it has three settings. You can release a fish at 50, 100, or 150 feet, and you just kind of set it and forget it. And you can keep a separate rig. You know, I keep a heavier rig, like a 40-pound rig with right. a 1-pound weight to drop a rockfish down.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
I use the Rocklease, well. And that works real well.
Rocklease works yeah. great.
Or
works
a milk great. Crate, you know.
Crate. If you have multiple, like we catch the yep. little ones.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Catch a bunch of those. You have a mm-hmm. milk crate, and you weight the milk crate, right?
Yep.
On the different corners.
Yep.
And attach it and drop it.
Yep.
The thing, release multiple at a time.
Yep. Thing I like about the Rocklease and the Shelton, you can send the fish all the way to the bottom regardless of the depth, whereas the Sequalizer, you're restricted to those three depth settings. But it works flawlessly every time. Just keep it rinsed off with fresh water after you're done fishing.
There's a page on the SAC website dedicated to barotrauma and descending devices, and there's the videos and the links to all the devices to purchase.
Yeah.
And, you know, Fish and Wildlife has and so does NOAA. This is all online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty exciting.
But we can go on the SAC website and look at all this.
Yeah.
Those of us that enjoy rock fishing, this is one of the reasons why we're getting back some of the territory that we lost years ago, right?
Absolutely right. Yeah. So for a long time, rockfish populations were depleted overall. And so in 2001 or 2000, the federal government declared a groundfish disaster on the West Coast. And since then, there have been a whole range of regulations that have put in place. And that's kind of why it's so confusing now. You know, you have the California coast split up into multiple regions, and there's different depth restrictions in different regions. So it takes a little bit of effort to get up to speed on that. But after that whole range of regulations has been put in place over the last, 18 years now, roughly, we're seeing populations rebuild, and we're using things like descending devices. So we're taking these proactive steps, many of which came from the industry, to bring back the rockfish populations, and now things are looking pretty darn good.
And using those things, it's demonstrating that we care about the resource.
Exactly.
And the future of the resource.
Exactly.
Yeah, and pretty soon we're going to have it from Alaska all the way down to the Mexican
That's
border.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really getting on it. Like, we go to Kingfisher Charters or Whalers Cove Lodge, and they're getting on descending devices. They use them.
It's important for Yellow Eye up there.
Oh, it's really important.
Is it law in Alaska?
Pardon me?
Is it law in Alaska?
I don't think so currently.
Okay.
It's law in Oregon, Washington, and B.C.
Okay, yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Sure, absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Todd. Todd's calling from San Diego. Welcome to the show this morning, Todd.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Todd. Thank you.
I wanted to ask your guest, sir. My son's going to school to get his biology degree. I was wondering if they could advise him as to what to do now to maybe be in their position one day.
How old is your son?
He's a sophomore in college.
Oh, great. That's perfect time. I'm not sure. What university does he go to? What school?
Oh, right now he's back east on a cross scholarship. So he's in Missouri, actually.
Okay, great.
But he's looking at a wildlife biologist kind of degree.
Oh, fantastic. The best recommendation I would have would be to do a little bit of research into what programs his school currently offers. And then just go knock on doors and volunteer in those labs and show them that, for him to show them that he's serious about putting the time in, learning the ropes, meeting the people, and just learning the fundamentals about the science that goes into that whole field. So volunteering in labs and trying out different labs at the same time.
Is that how you did it, Lyle?
That's how I did it.
And
that's,
you, Elena? Yep.
Yeah, I had a bit of a unique experience because I left Canada and came here, so I had the odds stacked against me. So if I can do it, you can do it. You just,
you mean because you're Canadian?
Well, no.
No. Benefit, yeah, I was going to say, that's not not anything against you.
But you know, I didn't know the community down here. Okay. Like I literally didn't know that recreational fishing was a big thing here. So, but I networked like a champ. And I got to know everybody and
Cool. Volunteered
in a bunch of labs, volunteered on Lyle's project.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would recommend talking to the professors there and just finding any way you can get involved with the research that's going on.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Good hints there. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Good for you, Todd, for encouraging your son to go forward there. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, kind of a cool deal. Let's jump back into it. Talk to Gus. Gus calling from Burbank. Good morning, Gus.
Gus.
Yo, you guys. Yo, yo, yo. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yo, Gus.
I'm very pleased to read the news about the rockfish. That's really great. And I'm wondering two things. We're all used to not catching any rockfish now from like December,
January, February.
31st.
January, February.
January and February. And so I'm wondering, is that going to change in the new year? And also, do you think that there's any chance since the fish are rebounding there, the fish population is rebounding, do you think there's going to be any chance of opening some of the fish protected areas?
The marine protected areas.
Great, great questions. For rockfish, the reason why rockfish is closed in January and February is because that's kind of the peak spawning season for rockfishes in general. So they want to keep that protection in place, I would imagine. So I don't see that opening anytime soon. I don't think there's been any real talk of it. And then the marine protected areas, most of them are so new that they're still trying to figure out how they function, how effective they are, and you know what design characteristics really play into the success of MPAs, meaning how much they contribute to adjacent fisheries. So the jury's still out on a lot of that. We've seen a lot of differences inside and outside of marine protected areas across a number of different metrics, but opening marine protected areas, you know, it's still in the early stages of assessing how functional they are. So
it'd be really cool to see like a catch and release barbless hook kind of scenario.
A catch and release MPA would be really cool. That's something,
wouldn't it be?
Yeah, that's something I proposed back in 2010 or 2011 when the South Coast MPAs were being implemented, but I don't know why it didn't end up getting...
Well, I think part of it is enforcement, too.
Yeah, enforcement's a big one.
Yeah,
enforcement's
that's
a big one.
Deal. Because there's nobody really to enforce that that guy really...
Right, harvest, barbless.
And then when you're in an MPA, could you have fish on board that maybe you caught from somewhere else or whatever?
Yeah. It's complicated.
Right?
Yeah.
A little bit too
good
complicated.
Good question, though, Gus. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that very much. Let's try and sneak in one more quick one. Dan and Encinitas, you have a quick comment?
Yeah. Corey kind of touched on it. The black sea bass. Is there any plans in the future to try and kind of bring up the stock like we have with the white sea bass?
Great question. Black sea bass have recovered significantly over the last 20 years. I mean,
highlighted significant.
Yeah. I mean, they're everywhere now. But they disappeared for a reason. You know, they are highly susceptible to heavy fishing pressure. Even just catch and release is tricky because, as we mentioned, with descending devices, black sea bass suffer barotrauma too, even from fairly shallow water, and it takes a little bit of effort to get them back down, and you don't want to see a 100-pound black sea bass float away, right?
No.
So,
and they're highly susceptible to spearfishing, too.
And yeah, exactly.
They're very curious creatures. I mean, they literally come
swim
up
right
to
up to you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely. So, yeah, back in the 50s, people used to spear them all the time.
Oh, yeah. And catch them. And,
yeah. So the population has come back tremendously, but it's very sensitive. So I'm not sure how, you know, what direction they're going to go with that.
Yeah. All right. Hey, good question, though. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Really good questions. When we come back, we're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the San Diego out of Seaforth Sport Fishing. More from Lyle, more from Elena. When we come back on Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
It's long range time at the Ridge and Lower Banks. Time to get your gear. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Big fish need big tackle, and that's why we recommend the Shimano Talica for tuna, Trinidad for wahoo, matched with a Therese rod. Choosing the right size Talica, Trinidad, and Therese is the trick, and that's where we come in, with more experience and expertise on long-range fishing than anyone. Fisherman's Landing Tackle has the Shimano gear for your long-range trip. Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com.
Cast Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. For over 20 years, Cast Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips. Whether it's a fishing trip, a family vacation, or an adventure, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cast Tours at 800-593-6510 or check casttours.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. And man, there's shows that just go by fast, and
this was amazing.
Oh, just super fast, and just meaning that there's so much good information and just so fun and flowed so smoothly. And we have a winner. Elena was pulled it out of the hat. Todd from San Diego, and another one like yesterday, just a first-time caller, and just lucky enough that we appreciate those first-time callers and lucky enough to win. And he's going to have fun. He's the one that had the son in school, and hopefully will become a biologist at some point. But he's going to enjoy a trip on the San Diego out of Seaforth Sport Fishing.
Very nice. Lyle and Elena, you guys are awesome. We've got to do it again.
Thank you so much.
Anytime.
So many people we didn't get questions, and the work that you guys do, thank you. I'm saying thank you from myself and all our listeners and all the people. You guys do such great work, and we're very grateful to have you.
We really appreciate the time being here.
Thank you to the fleet. For me,
for being
willing to work with me.
Yeah.
You're really tough to work with. Yeah. No, it's their pleasure. I'm sure every one of them would say that for sure. And all the good work you do with SAC and Ken and stuff like that, thank you for that. Lyle, keep up the great work with
what you're doing.
We'll keep tabs on you, and we'll have you back.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Corey Sannon and I will be back next Saturday and Sunday. Rick will still be out of town. Next Saturday, Jeff from Sedros Kayak Fishing, and Ron Lane from Fast Lane Kayaks. That's going to be a great show. Jeff's got some great new stuff from Sedros Kayak Fishing, and, of course, Ron's always got some great, great stuff. The next Sunday, it is the Christmas Spectacular with Captain Mark Wish. You heard kind of a list of what we're doing. It's going to be an amazing show with some amazing prizes. Your best contribution to the show, you could win some fabulous, fabulous things. and from us here at Let's Talk Hookup, for sure. Thanks to Adam on the other side of the glass for all he does. Check out the Let's Talk Hookup app, letstalkhookup.com on the web. Everything you need to know is right there. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mighty 1090.